You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Guest is Roman Bistrionic. He is the co-author with Dr. Suzanne Humphreys of Dissolving Illusions, Disease, Vaccines, and the Forgotten History. But this hour, we're going to be talking about something else. And then the third hour, we leave for call-ins and to talk about other things of interest to the listeners. Anyway, you are working on something else that I think is really imperative that people should consider, and that is go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. the destruction of the planet. You were talking earlier about how things were terrible, sewage running in the streets, the clean dirty water, and all those other things, and it seems now that we are reverting by all the trash and all the things that we are doing to destroy the ecosystem, to destroy the birds, the flowers, the bees that pollinate the fruits and vegetables. I am really concerned. We're spreading poison. We're trying to kill some mosquitoes. A mosquito bite is not going to hurt anybody. But all this poison that they're spewing out in the spring and the summer, it just makes me crazy to think about what they're doing to the ecosystem.
This was a number of years ago. I was working on the smallpox book, actually, and I was really interested in that, and I had lots of cool data from the 1500s to the 1800s and all that. But I was always kind of reading a lot of history, a lot of science, watching documentaries, listening to radio programs about different topics along those lines. And I had listened to one radio program where a scientist was talking about abrupt climate change and, you know, it's a notion of feedback loops, such as a giant methane release from the warming Arctic would increase global temperatures, you know, rapidly. And he pictured, you know, he painted a very bleak picture. And you know, after I listened to that, I was honestly quite depressed. I spent a few days just trying to get through that. And then I decided, you know, I have to drop all these other things. I shelved the smallpox book, and I decided to do a deep dive into different environmental issues that I kind of knew about, but never, you know, really paid that much attention to. So I started assembling chapters. That's how I like to organize my thinking. And that's changed over time, the different topics. But what I found and everything I looked into was always a lot worse than I even thought. And it's a difficult thing to kind of go through and really, if anybody's listening that is not emotionally stable or you suffer from depression, I really prefer you don't listen to this, because it's very disturbing, it's very terrifying and depressing, and I don't want anybody to go into a tailspin. On the other hand, I think everybody should be aware of a lot of this stuff, and even though it's horrifying information, so we can all be aware, take actions where we can, and you know, the depression, fear, anxiety that comes along with all this is not fun, but it gets you to, you know, act and think and act, and, you know, start being aware of what's going on. And that's what happened to me. I, you know, put a lot of things on the side, and I changed a lot of my lifestyle to, you know, try to, you know, mitigate damage through the different things I be talking about in coming up next.
Okay.
I have preliminary chapters. I've written like about 10 of them. And I have a different email for this project, and it's called movingbackfrommidnight at gmail.com. I don't have a website yet, but I will be happily sending out chapters for anybody who wants them. And they're all fully referenced. So I have a chapter, for example, on plastics in the oceans, and that has like over 120 references about. It's not a long read. It's about 14 pages. But it's, you know, there's a lot of information, there's a lot of things going on, and all these things, I think, are occurring at the same time, and the, you know, the, we're in serious danger of destroying a lot of life on the planet, including ourselves, and if it was one of these things, it would be horrible, but then we have all these different things occurring at the same time, and it's kind of a cliche, but the perfect storm is upon us, I think.
Right.
And
now you said that movingbackfrommidnight.com.
Well, no, there's no website. It's a movingbackfrommidnight, all one word, at gmail.com.
Oh,
is
Gmail. Okay.
My email. Yeah. I don't have a website yet. I haven't had the time or anybody to help me with that. So I don't have one yet. As soon as I have that, all the chapters will be up online for free. I'm not in this to make money, because this is a lot more important than, you know, a buck. So as soon as anybody wants chapters, I'll email them out. And some of the issues that we're facing is plastics are contaminating and destroying life in the oceans. We're also overfishing the oceans to such a horrible degree that we're in danger of wiping out fish stocks across the planet. Coral reefs are across the globe are dying. Oceans are warming up, acidifying, and losing oxygen. Species are across the planet are declining and going extinct. Even, you know, your iconic animals like lions and giraffes and rhinos and tigers, they're all in population decline.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the insects. They're all there's insects declining across the planet.
And birds. As a child, there were all kinds of species of birds that you could go out, and they were all around. There were all these butterflies all around and hummingbirds. Yep. And now I see robins. And I see cardinals, and blackbirds, but
depending on your location, which species has declined, a lot of the species have declined. Birds, bats, all sorts of animals. So it depends on where you are.
Yeah.
So a lot of things have declined. The Amazon rainforest is being deforested, as well as other rainforests across the planet. And the Amazon rainforest is close to a tipping point where it will spiral into out of control and just turn into, at least large parts of it, into savanna or even desert, which will have global implications. And we're really close to that tipping point, according to scientists. Glaciers across the planet are retreating. They're literally just evaporating. You have the Greenland, the Arctic, and Antarctic are melting at different rates at different times. And, you know, the permafrost is melting in Alaska and Siberia. And that threatens to release huge amounts of methane, which would cause, obviously, huge problems.
Now, you mentioned that we need to do something about it. Isn't it the big corporations, the people who are after the resources, who are doing the damage to the planet, who are plowing down the rainforest to get after whatever it is they're going after? And individually,
sure.
we can alter our own lives, eliminate plastics and aluminum and all that kind of thing. But how do you go after these big corporations who are just money hungry and they don't give a darn about what they're doing to the system?
Well, that's not, you know, obviously not an easy problem to solve. My take is that we take personal responsibility and really modify our lifestyles so that we're not having that impact. I mean, as a society, as a planet, we waste massive amounts of food. We, you know, we consume these disposable pieces of clothing at, you know, ridiculous rates. We waste so much. We consume endless electronic gadgets that end up being thrown out, and just enormous quantities. And if huge numbers of people shifted that ideology from that we're just these consuming entities instead of human beings, then, you know, that would have an impact, because a lot of what drives deforestation is, you know, human beings' desire for special hardwoods from the rainforest, or they want cheap beef, because beef is one of the primary reasons the Amazon's being deforested and has been for a while, because they can get cheap beef. You know, all these kinds of things, you know, the palm oil, that's another reason, you know, forests are being hacked down. So, you know, if you change your behavior so you're not doing that, the more people that do that, the less, you know, there's an incentive to do, you know, get that stuff. Gold mining in the Amazon is a big issue, because people go in there and they hack down the forest to get at the gold. And at the same time, they're extracting the gold using mercury, which ends up into the environment. It poisons them. It poisons the water. And, you know, it's about a third of the mercury in the world that's being dumped in the environment is because of gold extraction. So, you know, using gold, different cultures use, you know, lots and lots of gold ornamentation. That really should stop. You don't need gold to be happy. It doesn't, you know, these kind of behaviors are what needs to change. It's a really radical kind of shift in human behavior. And all the while, the human population is continuing to increase, and we're going to hit 10 billion probably by 2050. And that's a big problem, because resources keep on being decimated at really a breakneck speed.
And it's really the consumerism that is a problem. And we can each alter our lifestyles to be responsible for ourselves. And the planet, I believe, could accommodate the population if the population were not so intent on having all the latest gadgets and things that they really don't need. If you think about it, all of the electronic gadgets that we have, and now 5G is coming along, and you have a lot of things that, do we really need these things? I don't think so. And
So generally we don't need a lot of these things. And sure, you could accommodate a huge number of people on the planet, which we are currently doing, but the cost is tremendous. It's already tremendous, with the oceans being ravaged for food. You know, the overfishing is just way out of control. And at this point, 90% of the oceans are either overfished or at maximum. And so you only have 10% that's not being overly taxed. That's not a lot. And so you have the life in the oceans being just basically, you know, ripped apart by these massive global fishing trawlers that go around, because everybody wants their seafood. Everybody wants tuna. They want whatever fish they can get. And that's devastating. There's going to be a point where it may be by mid-century, 2050, that just based on that, that all the fish in the ocean could collapse.
Wow.
So there won't be these fish in the ocean. Then what are we going to do? So we need to really stop doing these kind of activities. And I, you know, I no longer eat anything from the ocean. There are people that subsist on, you know, like things from the ocean, you know, local peoples. But in general, it's not a good idea. It's not sustainable.
Right. I think people should eat what foods are readily available in their own locality, because that's natural to where they live. And if you live in the middle of the United States, you're not near an you have the Great Lakes and whatnot. But if it's not local to your vicinity, then you probably shouldn't try to consume it. Now, when you were talking about cultures that place a lot of emphasis on gold, are you talking over and above, say, a wedding ring or?
Sure. I mean, you could look at the Indian culture. Their culture is particularly big on, you know, lots and lots, excessive amount of gold. But there's, you know, other people use tons of gold, different categories of people think it's great to, you know, wear lots of gold chains and whatnot. But, you know, that's simply not, you know, something that people generally need. And the, you know, the reason we have so much, or one of the reasons we have so much mercury in our fish is because, you know, this insatiable desire for gold, which is something that's been going on for centuries, of course, but.
Right, and it can't be good for the fish either to be full of ethyl mercury, which then we consume.
Right. Yeah, sure. And then we're, of course, overfishing them to the point where they can't keep up with our
reproduce, right.
And that happened, you know, over many centuries. So when the Europeans first got to the Americas, the cod were tremendous all over the coast of New England, right?
Mm-hmm.
Up to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
They were described as being 6 to 7 feet long, 200 pounds, and there were so many cod that you just had to drop your hook in the water and pick it up. It was, you know, it was what drove the economy of New England for several hundred years. But then that's collapsed by 1992, I think it was. The whole cod stocks collapsed because of massive overfishing. Same thing with salmon. Salmon was in all the rivers of New England. Mm-hmm. Now most of them are, you know, don't have any salmon left, and salmon stocks have collapsed. Fish stocks are collapsing across the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only a matter of time before the whole thing, like a house of cards, falls apart. On top of that is, again, back to the plastics. And, you know, we didn't have plastics before the 1950s. Now it's everywhere. We use it for everything. It's a great human invention because it's lightweight, it's flexible, it's basically indestructible. And that's the problem. We haven't bothered as a society. What are we going to do with all this stuff when we're done with it? And we've gone overboard. Everything, bottles, straws, shampoo bottles, tubes of toothpaste, everything's made of plastic. Now, even our clothing, polyester, that's a form of plastic.
Right.
And what happens is we just throw it out.
I don't personally use any plastic. I use just glass bottles. I distill my own water, put them in glass bottles. I don't put any water into plastic. I use glass straws. If I use a straw, they're glass. I have four of them. They wash up beautifully. I don't use polyester. I use natural fibers. And there's a lot of things that people can do personally that would help with the situation. Alrighty,
sure.
We're going to go to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All right, we are back with our guest, Roman Bystrionic. And if you would like some of his chapters, excuse me, on what he's talking about, you may email him at movingbackfrommidnight@gmail.com. He doesn't have a website for these chapters yet, and hopefully you will acquire one and let us know. Anyway,
you can also follow me on Twitter.
Okay.
And Instagram, it's at moving back from. So I post a lot of different information there and commentary and all that kind of stuff. So
okay.
Until I get a website, well, I'm still going to use those mediums for information too. So
sure.
So there's lots of things you could do to eliminate plastic. I'm glad you've done that. You can use bars of shampoo instead of shampoo bottles, which are great. There's a company that makes toothpaste in little pellets that come in a glass jar, and you just crunch it down and you brush your teeth. It's actually, I like it a lot better than regular toothpaste. Mm-hmm. And so you've eliminated that. So it's a series of steps that people can take to at least get that out of the system, because you have such a huge amount being made. People don't know, do with it. I was just watching a 60 Minutes Australia show on the plastic recycling, and it's, you know, they don't know what to do with it, so they end up burying lots of it. They end up shipping it to Malaysia, which just ends up...
Good heavens.
And then what happens with it? Some of it gets broken down into pellets, but they don't have any way to control the waste, and it ends up in the oceans. And that's where we're having a huge amount of problem. Since the 1940s, we've created about 9.2 billion tons of plastic, and 6.9 billion tons of it has become waste because only 9% has been recycled. So you have about 6.3 billion tons of this stuff in landfills and in the environment, which is equal to over 17,000 Empire State Buildings. So there's a huge amount of this stuff out there. And a lot of it ends up in the oceans. And by 2025, which is just a few years from now, will be an estimated 100 to 250 million metric tons of plastic in the oceans, which is about 300 to 750 times the weight of the Empire State Building in the ocean.
Well, I remember as a child, I don't recall seeing a lot of plastic, if any at all. And I was thinking during the break I've thought a lot about this before, but what we used to do with waste, and there wasn't as much waste. We purchased things, we used it up, we composted.
Right.
And we also had individual incinerators where you could burn things, but really there didn't seem to be the waste and the consumerism when I was growing up.
Sure. Yeah, it's gotten a lot worse, and everything's been made for convenience and disposal, and that's been the push. It's been the mantra, and so you have a million plastic bottles being bought around the world every minute.
Oh, gosh.
480 billion plastic bottles were sold in 2016, and it's only increasing. Coca-Cola alone produces 110 billion plastic bottles every year, which is equal to almost 3,500 per second.
Wow. So now, they used to bottle their garbage in glass.
Yeah, well, I would recommend not drinking Coke at all, but if you're going to drink...
I don't drink any soda at all.
Right. But you should drink it out of glass.
It used to be out of glass.
Sure.
I only drink water, but... gosh.
Yeah, again, I think that people should give up that kind of stuff. Where appropriate, get a water filter of some type, and then, you know, have water and make teas. You can make your own juices, all that kind of stuff, that you get away from, I can get that in a plastic bottle, my soda, my water, all this kind of stuff. You know, that needs to stop.
Right. Well, I make my soda out of, I make hibiscus tea, I flavor it with honey, I put it in my soda stream, and you have a kind of a fizzly little drink that's really great. And I put it in my glass bottle.
Great. So you're doing a lot of the right stuff. That's excellent. You can make juices. You get a juicer, and you can put in whatever you want, apples, carrots, whatnot. They're delicious.
Yeah.
Far better than Coca-Cola.
Oh, that stuff is awful. Terrible. Okay, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Roman Bistrionic, and he is talking about a lot of really cheerful things that should make us all, all really happy.
I'm really popular at parties these days.
This needs to be addressed. Absolutely, mm-hmm. And I'm glad you're doing it.
This is really apocalyptic, really. You have 500 billion to 1 trillion plastic bags used every year, which is equal to 32,000 plastic bags per second, and only 1 in 200 is recycled, so the rest just goes... You will get your stuff at the grocery store, put it in a plastic bag, and you throw it out. It just keeps on accumulating. The stuff does not break down. It takes hundreds of years to break down. You have things like these K-cups for the Keurig single server coffee machine. They're made of plastic, and there was enough of those in 2014 to circle the Earth 10 times. Cigarette butts, those are made from a form of plastic, and they take decades to decompose. And it's 5.6 trillion cigarettes, or over 750,000 metric tons of butts end up in the environment or across the world every year. That's just more junk. We just keep on flooding the environment with junk, thinking it's just one giant garbage can. And right now, there's an estimated 51 trillion pieces of microplastic floating in the oceans. The oceans are turning into a plastic soup. And it's only getting worse. It's not getting better. And we're finding, or scientists are finding, plastic everywhere, including the Arctic Ocean, where they found, in 2013, 300 billion pieces of floating plastic. They're finding it in the deepest parts of the ocean, the Marianas Trench, where they, when they examined creatures at the bottom there, that 100% of them had plastic in them. In the big islands of Hawaii, as much on some beaches, 15% of the sand is actually grains of microplastic. It's everywhere. It's already everywhere. And, you know, it's escalating. It's not being tackled. There are some people, some places banning plastics. But it is accelerating plastic production and plastic usage and plastic pollution. And it's devastating life in the oceans. And everything from seabirds, sea snakes, turtles, sea otters, fish, crustaceans, mammals, they're being impacted. And they, some of them choke on the bags. They become entangled.
Of course.
And, you know, once it gets into their digestive system, blocks it. And, you know, they're animals. They don't understand that they ate plastic. They don't know, you know, it looks the same to them. They're just, you know, gobbling it up. And it causes them to starve to death. So you have this product that, you know, we just kind of mindlessly throw away, which I used to do. I didn't think about it. But, you know, that is impacting life in the oceans. In 1960, plastic was found in like 5% of seabirds. And by 1980, it was 80%. 2015, it was 90%. And by 2050, they'll all have plastic. So we have all our seabirds eating plastic. And, of course, some of them are going to die. They're certainly not going to be healthy. And so even right now, you have a million seabirds, 100,000 sea mammals, and an unknown number of fish, countless, being killed because of plastic pollution. And you may have seen in the, you know, articles in the news, whales washing up on shore.
Right.
And there was one in the Philippines that washed up, and it was crammed with 88 pounds of plastic garbage.
Oh.
And so you have all these beautiful creatures that are being killed by all this stuff, ending up in the ocean. And it's not just our consumer product, you know, back to the, you know, fishing, the fishing nets and lines are used to be made out of hemp and materials that would break down.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're made from, well, of course, plastic, because it's super durable. It doesn't break. But then if it's lost, it just starts, you know, inadvertently catching sea life. And they have a term for that. It's called ghost fishing. And so you have these nets floating around catching sea life and killing them. And every year, hundreds of miles of nets and lines, estimated at 640,000 tons, is lost in the ocean every year. And that's equal to 5,000 blue whales in weight. So the losing tons and tons of this stuff, along with all the plastic bags and bottles and products, it's all over the place. And it accumulates in these giant whirlpools. There's five of them. And half of the whirlpool weight is this fishing gear. And it's, again, it's killing tons and tons of sea life. And it doesn't just stay there either. Plastic doesn't decompose. It's not natural. And so what happens is it slowly breaks apart into microplastics. And this could take decades or even centuries. And then the small pieces are eaten by creatures as well, even further down the food chain, and it ends up in our food chain. It's also, the microplastics aren't just these benign little pieces of plastic either. They tend to pick up pollutants like PCBs and DDE, which is a breakdown of DDT, which is still being used on the planet for some reason. And so when they looked at plastic, because it has little nooks and crannies, it has had 100,000 to a million times the levels of PCBs on the surface of the plastic than there is in the seawater. So it's a it's a pollution magnifier. And it's already in many species of fish, swordfish and tuna, mussels and oysters. And when they went to look that, in one study they were looking in Britain, and they found that people eating seafood eating plastic is common and widespread. And so they're finding, you know, this stuff, again, everywhere. It's in 90% of table salt. It's in 83% of world's tap water is contaminated with plastic. And 93% of bottled water is contaminated with plastic. Through salt alone, the average adult consumes approximately 2,000 microplastics per year. So it's a global catastrophe, and it's starting to get some attention.
From who?
There's more and more articles in the media about that. There's plastic bans coming into effect here and there. It's not really talked about, as far as I know, on the television much, but at least it's in various publications, and you know, people are more and more aware of it. But it's the response is not proportional to the problem,
right?
And the problem is that production of plastic doubles every 11 years, and with 8 million metric tons of plastic entering the ocean, it's equal to one garbage truck full of plastic being dumped in the ocean every minute.
Oh gosh.
And that's projected to increase to 4 garbage trucks of plastic every minute. So if that continues business as usual, and it's just, you know, the projections show that it is so far, we're talking about by 2050 having 850 million metric tons of plastic in the ocean, which is equal to 2,500 Empire State Buildings of plastic.
Well, there are whole industries that do nothing but create plastic.
Sure.
You were talking about plastic bags, and now I can't foresee any time in the future where these corporations are going to say, you know what, we really don't need to keep making this money, and we should do away with this product. And what would happen? What would occur if people would be more responsible, or if corporations would be more responsible, and if people would stop asking for the product?
Right. I mean, if people, you know, stop using it in great mass numbers, then there would be a shift. I'm not saying personal responsibility is going to take care of the whole problem, but it's a start. And I think that we all can do our individual thing to make a small difference. If you and I and a few other people do it, it's not going to do anything, right?
No.
But it gives, you know, it creates a societal impetus for these corporations to, you know, change and provide other products. For example, like cloth bags instead of plastic bags that they could sell, and then you could reuse over and over again. And,
right.
You know, it's a giant problem, and until we kind of face up to this kind of issue seriously, then we're going to be in serious trouble. And it's not just the plastic destroying our whole ocean ecosystem, which could accelerate that predicted overfishing by 2050 fish collapse. I think it could accelerate it, because now we're killing all the fish and other animals with plastic too, so it could even be earlier than that.
Right.
The other thing is, you know, the plastic isn't, you know, magically made. It's made out of petroleum. So more and more of our oil is being used to make plastic, and really, I think it's by 2050, one out of five barrels of oil will be used to make plastic. Mm-hmm. And once the plastic's out in the environment, it's slowly emitting, you know, methane and ethylene. So it's not just sitting there breaking apart, it's also emitting these greenhouse gases. And this disaster alone is Dr. Lisa Svensson, of the Director of Ocean at UN Environment, said plastics are ruining the ecosystem of the ocean in nothing short of a planetary catastrophe. Another gentleman, Eric Solheim, stated is we're facing an ocean Armageddon. And I have to agree, after reading tons and tons of reports on all this, if you forget about everything else and you just thought about plastic, plastic has the ability to collapse life on the planet. Because if you kill life in all the oceans by completely contaminating it and contaminating the entire food web, where are you going to be?
Right.
And that's not taking into account anything else. So one disaster alone is horrible. And then now we combine it with overfishing, which I was saying earlier is, you know, escalating. You have these massive trawlers going around the planet scooping up everything. And they're made into fish pellets for chicken feed or used for farmed fish.
Right, they feed these farm fish, which I wouldn't eat. Terrible, terrible things. I don't eat a lot of fish, but
I suggest everyone go to zero.
Yeah.
You know, it's our oceans are in serious trouble, to say the least. So these, you know, people are going around scooping up everything, you know, and they're decimating things like sharks, and it's estimated, I think it's between 63 to 273 million sharks are killed each year.
Oh my gosh.
That's 120 to 520 sharks killed per minute. We're just ravaging the ocean. The ocean white-tip shark has declined population-wise in 50 years by 99%. It's now an endangered.
Oh, my gosh.
And a lot of this is for making things like shark fin soup, which is, you know, this delicacy. That has to, and these things have to stop.
Absolutely. Of course.
And
an elephant just to get at its tusks and all of the other nonsensical things that people do. It's just atrocious.
We haven't got the species extinction yet. That's a whole nother chapter. Back to the oceans, the predatory fish in the oceans have declined by 90% in the last 50 years because of industrial fishing. You know, we humans are very clever. They used to go out in rowboats and wooden ships and catch some fish. Now we have technology, so we can find any fish on the planet. We can scoop them up with massive, huge nets and just scoop up everything. And, you know, this relentless quest for more and more is, again, wiping out life. One report estimated 650,000 marine mammals are killed or injured from foreign fisheries being hooked and tangled. So it's not just the fish. We're wiping those out. And because we're fishing up everything, there's a diminished food supply for all the seabirds, which they're collapsing.
Right.
Since the 70s and 80s, nearly 50% of terns and frigate birds and 25% of penguins, they're gone. Longline fishing kills 160,000 to 320,000 seabirds a year, and these long lines are up to 80 miles long, and they unintentionally trap, drown, kill seabirds, turtles, dolphins. It's just overwhelming. Since the 1950s, we've fished out 6 billion metric tons of fish. And again, there's a Dr. Boris Worm who warns that this fishery decline is destroying the whole marine biodiversity. And so he's, you know, they mapped out and predicted that, what does it say? At the present rate, species will vanish, marine ecosystems will unravel, and there will be a global collapse of all species currently fished, possibly by mid-century. So in other words, by 2050, life in the oceans as we know it would collapse.
Okay, we're going to a quick break. We will be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and this is, I just typed in the chat room, this is so depressing, and it is, because it makes me feel so helpless, even though I'm attempting in my own small way to mitigate the any damage that I might be doing by my lifestyle. It's still very depressing to know that it is in such such a huge amount, and anybody that loves nature.
If you're not depressed and upset, then you're not paying attention. I don't like making people depressed or upset, but this is the reality. act, we're going to be in serious trouble. We're already in serious trouble. So the plastic in the ocean's already there. It's already killing sea life. It's not going to magically disappear. No one's going to scoop up the plastic. Not going to happen. It's only going to continue to break. All we can do is mitigate the damage. We need to stop putting more plastic into the environment, period. So,
all right. So in addition to taking personal responsibility for better choices, what can we do to get others, other than have them listen to people like you, to get others to recognize the issue, the problem? How do we get the corporations, other than stop buying their garbage, how do we get them to be responsible?
Well, yeah, so that's not an easy nut to crack, right? So the best thing I find is, sharing information like this with other people. So I do that on Twitter and whatnot. And there's more and more people becoming aware. And, you know, there are drives for just plastic alone is to get people to stop using it and ban it. And in my personal opinion, I would ban plastic bottles, bags, and straws right away, which
would
get a lot of people upset because they're so used to convenience. We've been led to believe that our happiness is composed of convenient junk that we can buy. And that actually doesn't even really work. The more stuff you buy, the more you clutter up, it actually increases your anxiety and depression. And if you, you know, stop that, you have more time to spend with your family and your friends and less time at working to buy the stuff that you really don't need. And so you actually end up being happier by doing that. But, you know, so it's a giant problem. And, you know, once you're aware of it, you can, you know, do whatever you can. I don't know all the answers to how we tackle Coca-Cola producing all these bottles. I mean, we just don't need that product at all. But if you were getting it, get it in a glass bottle. And I think the more people that buy it that way, they'll go, oh, okay, we'll make more of that. But there's still going to be tons of people buying it the other way. And that's the problem. It's got to stop.
And they recycle these things. So where do they put all this trash that they pick up every week?
So a lot of recycling is just kind of an illusion. You put stuff in your blue bin or whatever color bin, they take it away, you think it's being recycled. Not always true. Sometimes it's just buried. Sometimes it's broken into other pieces. But we don't want to deal with it. And places like Australia don't want to deal with it. So they just export it. And they export it to countries that can't handle it in the first place. So it goes to, it used to go to China until China decided we're not going to take any more of this stuff. So they banned it. But it goes to other places like Malaysia.
Wow. Do you want to stay over for a few minutes in the third hour or no?
Sure, I got some time, yeah.
Okay, we'll open the phone lines, take questions. Be right back.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.